lean in. We're told to speak up. We're told to never back down. That's what the world tells us. Because we're taught that if we're quiet, then you become a doormat. If you're humble, somebody's going to make you a target. But Jesus walks up to the microphone and says something that sounds, frankly, crazy and ridiculous. To our modern ears, we just don't get it. Jesus says, let's be honest. That's kind of hard for us to do from time to time. We always say, we're a Christian, we tell the truth all. Really? How you doing today? Wonderful. Really? Really? Let's just get to the fact of the matter. Nobody puts meekness on their LinkedIn profile. Right? Can you imagine as they ask you to list your skills that you're able to put down, I'm an expert at being overlooked. Right? I'm highly proficient in taking the blame. You know, I'm a world-class door holder. What would happen? You wouldn't get the job. As a matter of fact, they'd probably send a wellness checkup on you. See how you're doing. Psalms 37:11 says, but the humble or the meek will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity, but we have to look at what the Bible talks about. Things are not what the world looks at the same way. Being successful in God's eyes is nothing like being successful in the world's eyes. Being humble, to be meek, to think of others more highly than you do yourself. These are the things that Jesus teaches, and it's contrary to what we are used to. And we live in a country and we live in a time and we live in a society that when you feel the urge to assert your rights into an argument, people say, go ahead! Stand up for yourself. But what does Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. When you have that feeling this week, and we'll all have it, chances are, sometime or another, just try driving up State Road 37 and getting behind an Amish buggy, you'll feel some wrath. So when we're feeling like we should assert our rights in an argument this week, try to practice power under control. By doing what? By listening first. We know we're always told to, you know, take it easy. Well, at least we tell our kids this. Take it easy, count to 10. Adults, we would do well to take that advice that we give to our little ones as well. We need to listen first. You realize that it takes zero strength to blow up at someone. Any toddler can do that. Any human, any adult can do that. But it takes a massive Herculean strength to have the power to crush someone and choose to serve them instead. That's why the Lord says, make us meek. Don't make us weak. Make us meek. Power, strength, resolve under control. There's a story of a 19th century Japanese army commander, or general, excuse me, that was led by this ruthless general. They swept through the countryside, destroying everything in its path. The townspeople fled in terror, except for one lone man who remained in a church building. As the general marches in, infuriated by this man's lack of fear, the general burst into that church building, drew his pistol, and held it to the Christian's head. It says, "Do you know who I am?" the general roared. "I am the man that can pull this trigger without blinking an eye." And the Christian looked up at the general calmly in the face and replied softly, "And do you know who I am? I am the man who can be shot without blinking an eye." The general's hand trembled. For the first time in his life, he met someone that was stronger than his gun. He did not find a coward. He found a man so submitted to God, to Jesus Christ, that the reality that the general's earthly power that he had meant absolutely nothing to him. And that's where, as we go on through this week, we need to take that stand. Not be weak, but be meek. Harness that power, that energy that God and Jesus Christ has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and stand strong against Satan and say, "Get behind me, Satan." That we must stand strong, be brave and courageous. For God is on our side. For if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, then what can man do to me? And that's what this Christian said, and that's the way we should do. And at the end, the general holstered his pistol, bowed to the gentleman, and walked away. Submit to God, and the devil will flee from you. Submission is not about losing your spine. It's about having a spine that is so strong that it does not need to flex to prove it is there. Be bold. Be strong. Submit. Stand firm. Don't be weak, but show the humble attitude that Christ had of being meek. So why does submission require strength? Let's look at that. Why submission requires strength? To be meek is to submit your will to God's will. Do we realize that when we became a Christian, and we looked at this last week with going through the plan of salvation and how we need to believe who Jesus is and repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then when we are immersed into Jesus Christ, do you realize, as we looked last week, how that is not a work, but actually Colossians 2 says it's the working of God in our life? And so that as we are lowered down in there, we shared the thought, remember, as being Resurrection Sunday, that it was the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And so as we look at that, as we are dead men, we've all been to the grave site. There's a cemetery across the road. We've all been to a funeral home or to a graveyard or a cemetery at some time in our life, chances are. And you know, that person there that's dead can only do what somebody does for them. Why is that? Because they've given up all their rights. When we are lowered down into this watery grave of baptism, it's not anything fantastic that we're doing, but it is the power of God unto salvation. And we arise to walk in the newness of life. We are nothing but dead men going in. And when we arise, we're given forgiveness of sins. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are given everything that we need to conquer this world. But we live too many times passive, instead of then taking on the strength, the meekness, the power that we gain, the strength that we gain actually through submission. And we arise to walk in that new life. You know, there's many times in our life that we have bad things happen to us. We're people. We live this thing called life. And we say to ourselves, well, I have the right to be angry. And maybe you do. Maybe somebody really messed you over. But what we need to do, because we are of Christ, is I have the right to be angry, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to submit my temper. I have the right to be right. I'm right. And I know I'm right. The Bible says I'm right. But sometimes we have to submit our ego. That doesn't mean we change the Word of God. That doesn't mean we don't make the Word of God effective in our life. But there's also times that we just have to let the Lord deal with it. James 4:7, quoted part of this verse earlier. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee to you. What has to happen first? I hear so many times, so many people say, you know, just resist the devil. Just resist the devil. But what's the first thing we got to do? The first thing James tells us to do is submit to God. Not an easy thing, but submit to God. Then you have the power to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot effectively resist the enemy until we have first submitted to the authority of the great God of all creation, to his Son who died for us on the cross, and the Holy Spirit that they have given to be our guide. We may be asked, what authority do we do things in? Jesus said, by all authority I've been given on heaven and earth, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This gives us the power to submit our plans to His purpose. You want to make God laugh someday? Tell Him your plans. Right? Because He's got a far greater plan than anything that you'll come up with. Give the power, He gives us the power to submit our plans to His purpose. And just to show you how important it is for us to do that, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 lets us know that even Jesus Christ the Son submitted His will to the Father. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, and being found in human form, Jesus was just like us. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. How many times we see Jesus prayed, may this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, my Father, not my will, but yours be done. Imagine what we, even just us in this small building here this morning, could accomplish this week, this month, this upcoming year, if we would just submit our will to Him. Nevertheless, not my will, not Jason's will, not Matt's will, not Tony's will, but submit our will to God. We want to change the world? Right? Amen? Do we want to change the world? Yes. We should be, as we see in the book of Acts, that those that have turned the world upside down has come here as well. We ought to go out into our job, into our workplace, wherever we might go, and be the change that the world needs to see. Jesus was the strongest man to ever walk the earth. He could have called down legions of angels, but he chose the nails. That was not a lack of power. It was the ultimate expression of true power, to take the nails into his hands. And when true submission is put into place, what's the result? It's our verse number 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, or will be filled. Right? It is so easy for us to become distracted by the play of the world, by the things that are offered, by the things that we see, by the things that are put in front of us. And we think, if I only had this, if I only had my hands on that, I'd be satisfied, I'd be happy, I'd be everything. I could just imagine what I could do if I had... But Jesus Christ is the only thing that can fill us. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can bring us true satisfaction. We live in a country of people who need help for whatever it is. And don't think you're not one of them, because you do. We looked at that last week. But what he wants us to do is to move beyond that, to take the help that he offers, to grow. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, so that we can stand up one day and say, "And such were some of you, and I used to be like that. But I am no longer like that, because Jesus has changed my life." We need to stop trying to grab the world for ourselves. Some translations use the word inheritance mentioned there in verse 5. But we need to stop seeking and chasing after the wind and chasing after what the world has to offer, and stop, as God tells us through the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you ever stop to think that he wants us to stop sometime because we just might be running away from a blessing he's trying to give to us? And he's like, "Stop! Come back here! Let me help you!" When we stop trying to fill ourselves with our own pride, with our own ego, with "this is the way I would do it," you know, don't you love it? I mean, it seems like the person that's always got the opportunity to offer out their opinion on how they would take care of things, their life's usually more messed up than yours. But they'll fix you, right? Isn't that some of our group thoughts that we discuss? Don't try to fix somebody else. Bring them to Jesus and let Jesus change them. Don't put a Band-Aid on it. And then that's when God fills us with his presence. When we know that Jesus Christ is in us. When we know that the Holy Spirit is there to be our guide. That's when we will then see that we are truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So this week, let's let's really try to implement our stallion strength. When someone cuts you off in the middle of traffic, right? You know what you want to do. You know what they're probably doing to you, letting you know you're number one. Things like that, they're getting mad at you. Let's put on our stallion strength. When you're at work and a coworker takes credit for something that you thought of, put on your stallion strength. Right? We must ask the Lord, give us strength to be quiet when we want to scream. We ask for the Spirit's help to choose to submit to that moment. To submit to Him, not as a weakling, but to submit to God as a warrior for Him. Because the world belongs to those who are strong enough to bow to God. We shall gain His inheritance. It says the meek will inherit the earth. I don't want this place. I want to go to heaven. I want Jesus. I want all the glory that He has for us and that we can honor and praise Him for all eternity. But it's when we truly understand what things in this life begin to fill us, that begin to satisfy us, that we understand that the hungering and the thirsting and all the things that we are seeking for His righteousness are not provided by this old world. They are provided by the One who created it. Submit to God. Submit to Jesus. Make Him Lord and Savior of your life. Learn to be meek. And the main desires in our life should be that we hunger and thirst for those things that only God can and will provide. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, it starts simply with believing, reading your Bible, having someone teach you, doing a Bible study, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's not just a prophet, He's not just a good guy, but that He is the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. That's where we start. And we're willing to repent of our sin. I'm willing to repent of the sin that put Him on the cross, that He died for, that He died for me, that He died for you. Are you willing to confess Him? To realize that all this junk and clutter in the world is keeping me from lining myself up with Him. That's what that confession word means. That we confess Him. That we confess Him as we are coming to Him through faith. That we confess Him as we go about our daily tasks. Do the people that you're around in the world know that you're a Christian? Let your light shine for Jesus. And then you come to Him in faith. You're lowered down into the watery grave. We say goodbye to the old man of sin. And we arise to walk in the newness of life. And we grow day by day by day in His Word through those of like precious faith, in prayer to Him, through guidance of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit that we produce in our life to be more like Him. What the world needs, yes, is for all people to be more like Jesus. But what the world especially needs is for Christians to be more like Jesus. Here's your opportunity this week. Here's your opportunity right now. If you're outside of Christ, you can begin that walk. If you're in Christ and already on that journey, then continue living and walking for Him. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation here this morning? Now's the time. Here's the opportunity to come to Him.